the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here to end suffering.
If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
A few weeks ago, kind of that sense of saying the daily recollection, and it just comes to you in the next beat or whatever. So I was looking at doing the opposite of that, trying to figure something out. And I totally remember when I used to not know the words exactly, and I would, you know, concentrate so hard and then miss, especially if I had to sit up there, you know. And that feeling of tension, trying to figure the right thing out.
Yeah, just having to know, needing to figure it out.
Believing there is a right thing. And if I just concentrate hard enough on that rather than coming back into the moment and looking to see what arises.
Well, that's that real place of trust, isn't it? Of letting that go, to just be there in the moment, to trust what arises.
So just looking at, you know, practicing with it, being able to just feel my feet on the ground and move the attention to the breathing, and the next thing arises, you know, sweep the floor, and the next thing arises, make the list, and the next thing. But then there's the head starts thinking about it, whatever the topic is, that I need to make a decision about. And it tells me it comes with urgency and important and right and wrong. And it's not relaxing. It's not trusting of anything but it. It trusts itself in that process. That crazy.
So that pull to trust, capital I-T, rather than life, and how that, you know, that pull is just accompanied with urgency and needing to get it right and tension. And just the contrasting that to trusting life and being in that place of openness, relaxation.
Everything's fine.
Acceptance. Can't everything
make a
is fine.
Mistake.
No mistake.
Just try this and see, and try that and see.
So you've been practicing with that this week?
There's an addictive quality to the other one, too. I don't know. So anyway, I just put it out there and see if anyone is did that.
Open it for discussion to see what other people's experiences with being open to trusting them.
I can relate to trying to figure it out. And I've been looking at that as well, and seeing that one of the sort of pernicious elements of it is that the looking at it can get folded right back into the figuring it out. And I really appreciated that place of just the feet on the ground, and it reminded me, I had a day, I had sort of this this mentor image, and she'll often say things to me like, you know, I don't make any plans, no lists, no plans. I'm like, wait, what? I mean, at least we got to make a list, and then, but just seeing how, I mean, I'm not saying inherently there's anything wrong with a list, but in that process, so often woven into it is a, I'm gonna make this list so that I can figure out how to get it all done, or get ahead of it, or get on top. It's all control.
It's all control. That, you know, it's, again, it's getting it right.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, for me at least, I know I can relate to that, just getting it perfect, and and how that just, it takes us exactly away from that place of trusting life, and and gets us back into conversation with conditioned mind.
It is really, really a trust in that. It feels like the trust builds in having even small moments of truly just being in that place of, okay, sweep the floor now, okay now. And finding, at least for myself, that in that place, I'm relaxed, it's okay, there's well-being. Truly, that problem, I'm using quote marks, that was so real and important, in sweeping the floor, it doesn't exist. And then, of course, because you're going to take 5 minutes to sweep the floor, but sometime you're going to have to, my experience is when it's time for that, there will be whatever there is about that. And again, that place of, well, how about maybe try this, or there's no bad, scary thing that's going to happen other than that tortured conversation inside the head.
Exactly. And when it's time for that, there'll be time for that.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be that spaciousness and that available.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be available for what
presents
itself at that time.
You know, I have this little tiny mini workshop. It was a nice workshop, or it's been a nice workshop, because it's not terribly charged. So it's easy just to see the process with it without believing it. But we had an ant invasion in our back hall here. Just suddenly, one day, hundreds of ants, you know, who knows why, just suddenly they have this big trail from here to here, and you know, being Buddhist and living the way we live, we don't just kind of wipe them off and spray something and be done with it. We're interested in negotiating the ants, so encouraging them to maybe go somewhere else, and, you know, we'll take back the building, and that sort of thing. And it takes in my experience with ants, it takes a really long time. It's just a step by step by step by step process. And I would watch myself as I was doing that, you know, participating in that project. I could see times of like, oh, come on, are you kidding? You know, this, and then, oh my, and I'm never going to, and how, oh, I'm gonna, and just, again, because it wasn't loaded content, just seeing, that's silly.
Yeah.
There's just no reason to do that. I mean, this is not a problem.
Mm-hmm. Again, then going to that place of like, yeah, we have to get this done quickly.
Yeah.
For what?
For what?
Yeah.
What? Who's making that up?
Right.
Why?
Right.
And knowing full well, our big kitchen machine broke, and I was in charge of like ordering the new part and getting it all fixed, and it was, there was this piece of it that was just puzzling to me, and I didn't know how I was going to get it, and I watched sort of a little bit of angst and stress build over it, and I walked into my office one day, and there was the part sitting there, and I just sort of heard myself say, or life, or the mentor, or whoever, you know, pretty soon, I'm going to walk in the office, and that part's not going to be there anymore, because the whole thing will be fixed. And sure enough, you know, a few days later, that was the case, and it was done. So what's the point in getting all that going when I know full well from my experience, sooner or later there won't be ants all over that wall. Mm-hmm. Sooner or later that kitchen, somehow that machine will get fixed. Yeah.
I'm reminded when I was young and my children were little, I remember a doctor who was a very wise person and encountered those many, that people, that kind of doctor very often. But I'd ask him about something about the kids and he'd say, just ask yourself, will they still be doing it when they go to college? And
exactly.
If the answer is no, just forget it.
Yeah. Wet their bed, suck in their thumb.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
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 It's that same sort of thing. Penny.
It's interesting, the Transform Your Life quote in today is about not thinking. And not thinking about not thinking. I made reference a couple of times to that. This Sherry Pat has been reading this particular book, and in the book it talks about it talks about whole mind and split mind, which I guess we would call, you know, small mind and awareness, you know, that kind of thing. So it said whole mind is devoid of thought. And thoughts arise from whole mind. I read that last night before I went to bed and I said, I'm just going to bed. So I can't handle this. So anyway.
I'll sit with that.
I'm not going to think about that one. So it was just sort of one of those great Zen things, you know? So anyway, so I was during meditation this morning, something arose. There was a very helpful awareness about something to pay attention to going forward. And so I just looked at that and I thought, so where did that come from? Because I wasn't thinking. You know, it wasn't like I was thinking about it and I got to it. It just appeared. So where did it appear? And I just have to suspect it came from awareness, which is, I think, our term for whole mind. And then it was so funny because then the conditioning one to say is, well, you're not supposed to. I thought what came up was, I don't know what else to call this other than a thought, or an awareness, or an idea. Mm-hmm. And conditioning came in and said, but you're not allowed to have thoughts. No, he wanted to say, you can't call this a thought. We have to think about some other way.
Exactly.
to handle this thing that arose. It can't be a thought. So I don't know. It's just so funny to watch the clamor, to watch the really kind of little frenzy that is triggered by just that moment. And it reminded me of an email class where, you know, you focus on the gem, the jewel, and then just there are the layers, you know, it's the same thing. So here's the whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And here is conditioning wanting to, like, little, you know, it's like plaster of Paris. It's like, you remember when we used to put a paper mache, right? Put this on and this on and this on and this on and turn it into the shape that I want. So what conditioning does to it. Mm-hmm.
So just really seeing that, really, that moment of clarity that arose in whole mind and watching what the system did to try and just take that immediately and direct it into thinking about it and naming it and all that this process does with the information that flows through.
Yeah, and I was thinking about Thursday night, Sherry was talking about timing, how things come at the right time. And this awareness that arose today was not, in a sense, part of something I might normally be thinking about today or attending to today, mm-hmm. but it's relevant to something that's coming up. Mm-hmm. So it just felt like the timing was perfect, but I am sure if I had sat down to think about this topic area today, it wouldn't have arisen. So, you know, it's again, it's just that it comes when it comes, and it's on time.
Exactly. It brought me back to the earlier conversation. And also, if you were like thinking about it and trying, it would have been accompanied with that stress, that urgency, you know, and all that that does no good for the physical form at all. And, you know, contrast it to that place of just relaxation and that aha, having it arise, and the delight actually that comes with that. And
mm-hmm. And gratitude.
And gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. June.
in the email class with the image of basically a geode with a jewel at the center, representing true nature and authenticity, surrounded by layers of encrusted, hard, basically conditioning. I noticed that in the posted responses, several different people talk about chipping away. Mm-hmm. And Cherry's response is always, don't worry, don't chip away. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about this, mm-hmm. just be the jewel. It reminds me of something the very first monk who ever lived here said many years ago in a group. He was talking about getting lost in conditioned mind, just getting lost in some worry or fantasy or something, being 1,000 miles away. And forgetting the trip back is instant.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's been a very helpful, mm-hmm. the word, place in my practice. Mm-hmm. Really getting that.
Mm-hmm.
That the simple awareness that I've been gone is the instant coming back, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter where I've been going to, or how long,
or how thick the crust is.
There's no working to get back.
Mm-hmm.
To me when I say that is, it is very possible to kind of have that moment, I'm really lost here, I'm really not present,
mm-hmm.
and there's that moment, and immediately followed by another moment of not being present,
mm-hmm.
the voices just flood in,
mm-hmm.
the crusty layers just,
mm-hmm.
you know, whirr. So sometimes it's moment by moment by moment.
Sometimes there's just that little gap
of
knowing that jewel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, the current exercise of spending a couple of days doing something to remind oneself of the jewel,
mm-hmm.
Has been very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the homework in the email class to remind myself over a 48-hour period of the jewel and bring the attention back there right on to the...
Yeah. And then there are no crusty layers.
Mm-hmm.
Back here. Back here in the moment.
It can take years of focusing on what's wrong and therapy and all kinds of stuff to, you know, try and fix that, which brings us right into that place of the conditioning that's so low to have us of having to figure everything out.
Yeah.
When actually that, you know, that jewel is ever present and just waiting for us to be there, and it's possible in an instant.
If that's what I meant to say.
Well, obviously you said it.
Yeah, the issue of trust versus control is really, it seems like it's pretty basic to life and practice. Mm-hmm. And I became aware of a need to work on trust, that it was definitely, shall we say, a bit lacking. and the trying to control life was a little bit in the excess, and I say a little bit, you know, but it was a lot.
The balance was strongly weighted on
Yeah. And it has, for the past, well, a couple of years, it's actually been a very conscious focus, and it's been just an amazing, amazing to actually get to experience trust, what difference the quality of life is from that place, from the place of thinking that, you know, I'm this person out here by myself who needs to, you know, do all the things to get things right. Basically what I'm seeing now with the crust image is that there's this identity on the outside, and a lot of the layers going in are attempts to shore up that cardboard Henry crust on the outside that, that somebody has been taught to believe she needs to be, mm-hmm. where all of that is just covering up the beauty that she already is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you were saying that, I just saw it was really the difference between being in that place of separation and being in that place of wholeness.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. And in having the experience of how in every moment life provides everything we need and more. It's just so abundant and so beautiful and loving and intelligent and peaceful and joyful and all of that, you know. And so I've been having these wonderful experiences. I, as being this manifestation of life in form, has been having those wonderful experiences. And then of late, there's been a number of physical situations that I've been, that this being, this form, has been experiencing that kind of has, you know, brought up that kind of, this is really real, and there's something that needs to be taken care of here. You know, we can't leave life to do this. This is, you know, I'm the one who's feeling this. I need to get it fixed. So, long story short, I was lying awake last night, having the most strange physical sensations ever. And it was very scary, you know, very scary, very intense. And so I started trying to do things to get it to stop. It felt like, God, I don't even know how to say it, because there were so many different things going on. Mm-hmm. In different parts of my body, and just raging, rushing energy. I mean, it was just really intense. And so I tried this, I tried breathing, I tried, you know, getting comfortable, I, you know, everything. And then I thought, how about trust? Instead of trying to control this situation, what if you just trust this the way that you know life is bringing everything that you need, mm-hmm. in a moment. So what if you just relax into this experience and just see what is this experience? Maybe you're not really you. Maybe you're just being afraid. And so that's what happened. And I just completely started having stupid dust fall in to where I was going in the story.
So having this experience of this never before felt, it sounds like, intense energy just arising. And actually, it sounds like you started coming from a place of trying to make it go away, to try and fix it. And then it came to you that maybe there was an opportunity to just practice acceptance. And if life is actually giving you what you need in each moment. Indeed, this may be a gift from life that's giving you what it needs in this moment.
Yes, and of course, yes. And it was like the old paradigm was trying to operate in the beginning until, you know, it dawned on the being that that doesn't, never has been the answer. And so then just feeling it and watching where it went, you know, oh, now it's in my foot, and now it's in my, under my arm, and And, you know, then thoughts would come in. You know what, maybe my immune system's gone crazy like some of those autoimmune things. And maybe my immune system's going to eat up the inside of my body and I'm going to die tonight. maybe even tonight. And I thought, and then I went, well, I guess if that's what's going to happen, then that's what is there for me to experience. Am I going to frighten myself to death, or am I going to experience it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was kind of going back and forth like that. And I don't know, I'm just sharing it, I guess, because it's an example of that dynamic in that the pull, I guess, the habit. What I felt like was that the sensations in my body, they were intenser than usual, mm-hmm. but they're at a habitual kind of tension that is a result of having a fearful orientation. Mm-hmm. The number six orientation mm-hmm. to life is one of fear. Mm-hmm. And I realized a lot in that experience last night is that it's not just thoughts of fear, it's actually kind of a habit of having a sensation running in my body that is actually a physical tension, mm-hmm. which I am learning is a source of literally, there's a condition that that kind of thinking sends a message to the nervous system that says there's something wrong, you know, something that we need to do something about. And it shuts down oxygen to the body. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it was a whole learning experience last night mm-hmm. of how that could be all this pain. I've been trying to go to this one and that one and this technology and this exercise program and mm-hmm. get an MRI and this and that and the other thing. Hey, maybe it's just that lifelong pattern of being a six and carrying around a lot of energy that's gotten habitual. And that maybe I just need to relax. And so that's what I'm committed to doing. I'm just going to experiment with just relaxing. And that's what I feel when I trust life. It's a relaxation. In fact, I said in the middle of this, I said, universe, beautiful, unified field of being, I am yours. I give up. I am yours. Do with me whatever. If you want to take me this minute, do it. I did, and I meant it. I mean, I never think anything's forever, but it was the experience last night that I had. And I woke up this morning actually feeling better, mm-hmm. and I hardly slept. Mm-hmm. So.
So you had a workshop last night?
I did, a very big workshop, I did indeed, yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds like you saw a lot with it, and one of the things you saw is that the possible long-term effects of fear mm-hmm. on the body, and, you know, just the thoughts of fear, and also how that has affected a physiological being, mm-hmm. and it sounds like possibly, you know, just recognizing maybe a long-standing pattern in the body of living with that kind of fear and making a choice to practice acceptance and relaxation. Mm-hmm. And waking this morning and actually feeling good.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Thank you.
Well, there's so many things that have been said this morning that I've had something arise about that I'm not sure what actually I will respond to, but actually following up on the last one, I've had a whole year of nighttime workshops. So, you know, and they had quieted down for a while, and then just this weekend they revved up again, and I perceived that it was not accidental, that it was during the 48 hours of focusing on the jewel. I've come to see there's a direct correlation between practice and my nighttime workshops.
So the closer you get to the jewel, the more yes. opportunity yes. that you have to yes. focus your attention.
Yes, and so when I woke up, I think it was yesterday morning after a particularly vivid set of whatever it is that happens to me in the night, and I was in one of my what is this phases, you know, just what is this, and you know, I'm often when I'm in that phase, I'm really trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Well, is it this or is it that or is it that? And so I just sat down for a minute and I said, okay, let's just, you know, be in a state of this, be aware for a minute, be quiet, and from that place, what is this? Mm-hmm. And these words just came, and it was a perceived state of extreme anxiety caused by conditioning's resistance to healing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh.
Okay. That's interesting. Right, just when you said that, it was like what you did was break that urgency.
Yeah, exactly.
That urgency message, and it just in taking that moment, it sounds like to just breathe and let life inform you. Yeah.
Exactly, and you know, and it seems like the more we practice that, the more it actually will arise on its own too. I mean, this morning I just had a moment of, I don't even know what I was focused on something that was, you know, minor anxiety of some way, and just came in, you know, do not be afraid. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, you know, I mean, it was just, I thought, you know, that's what the heart says basically, mm-hmm. is do not be afraid. Mm-hmm. And what conditioning says is be very afraid. Mm-hmm. It's just the contrast between that. And so last night, after having had that thing, then I had a little mini version of my nighttime things, and I just thought, well, actually, you know, it's actually kind of a pleasant sensation when I'm not afraid of it, you know, when I'm not going, oh my God, what in the world is this? And I just think, ooh, actually, that felt really good.
So just really seeing the contrast between being in fear around something and being in acceptance, and actually, it's probably an opportunity. Probably a lot of what just flows through the body is just pleasurable without the story attached.
Exactly. Yeah, and one of my favorite things is talking about trust and conditioning is. I almost go through this process, I mean, it's silly in a way, so I'll be waking up in the morning and, you know, if I have a morning where I actually don't have to get up right away and I'm lying there for a while, which is actually not a very good plan, but if I do it, almost always will at some point arise, oh my God, what am I going to fix for a meal? As if it were life and death, you know, it's like, oh no, I don't know what to cook, you know, and I have to figure it out. And I can't figure it out lying in bed because I don't have the ingredients. I don't know, I can't do it. And you know, and it always...
It's a lot of conditioning to cook the meal.
That's right. Point, yeah. But always what happens when it's time to cook the meal, everything is there and it basically cooks itself, you know, and that happens every day. Both things. Oh my God, what am I going to cook? And it just cooks itself, you know? And it's like, at what point will I say, I don't need to go through this? Oh my God, what am I going to cook? You know? But it's a little mini example of kind of a lifetime process, you know? Of, you know, how many times do I have to fall for, oh my God, I don't know how to do this, when actually, when it's time to do it, I do.
Great example of how we do anything is how we do everything.
Yes, it is. And it's just like, okay, here's a little window on how this works, you know? It's really kind of fun when you can, you know, it's one of those things where you can say, well, yeah, that's what this being does, you know? And I don't know, the other thing that came into awareness at some point in the conversation was being reminded of one time having it pointed out about language and how the word decide has a lot in common with suicide, insecticide, fratricide, you know, that it's a killing.
It It's a killing thing.
When you decide something, you kill off everything that you didn't decide. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I hadn't thought about that in years, and all of a sudden it came up this morning, and I thought, that's really true, you know, that if we think we have to decide, we're shutting off a world of possibility.
Yeah. Well, the possibility that, you know, just being it, letting life inform.
Yeah.
And that changes moment by moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Moment by moment, yeah. It really, you know, it's like, we really can't know until we know. Yeah.
Till we're here.
Yeah, till we're here, until all of life is here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, I guess that's how the, you know, the machine gets fixed, and how the ants get negotiated with. You know, we can't decide how to do it. We can't figure out how to do it, although we can't just also sit down and say, well, I'm just going to wait until, you know, I mean, it's that funny place again we talk about, where we can't just sit and wait for it to happen, and yet we have to wait till it's ready to happen.
Being an active participant in life, and being open and asking, what is it that life wants to tell me?
Yeah.
You know, what is the message?
Thank you.
Alex.
That just reminds me of, I've been reminded about a lot of things, but then what you just was just shared right there reminded me of this thing that I think I heard a long time ago, which was, I can't see the view until I get there.
Mm-hmm.
And something about that just felt true with what we've been talking about, in a way. Like, it requires me to actually be walking in the direction of the view in order to have that view. Which I never got before with the, you know, I just always assumed it was like, you know, it's like the, I don't think there was a commercial before I came to the monastery, just something about wine, don't drink the wine before it's time or something like that. That was a long time. I think I was floating around on the commercials. But anyway, that seems to be the way conditioning works, is that it wants to nail something down. To own it, to argue for something, to only see one way for something to work. You know, like I just totally related to the, you know, being stuck with a story in bed in the morning about, with me, it's currently with exercise. And I listen to the kinds of excuses that come up that are the most plausible, the ones that will get me. And it's funny because it's like so true. Okay, so here's the one. I'll just give you an example.
I'm sure none of us have heard it.
Well, this one's kind of unusual. Like, they threw it out there. You know, you won't have time to get all of your stuff together, like your clothes and things like that, before you go, because it's going to be so, the time will be so tight. So I said, okay, well, it was funny because it was becoming so real. And so the strategy that I've laid down after I've taken notes is that this night I'm going to get all my clothes together tonight, because I actually feel like doing it now. So I do all the things that I actually feel like doing. And so I even laid out the exercise outfit. You don't even have to get that.
It's all just there waiting.
It's all there, yeah. Like the clothes that I'm going to wear the next day. You know, anything that I would need would be just right there. And then I watch to see what kind of excuse it's going to come up with. Because it will. It always does. Yeah. It's, you know, the temperature. Well, you know, okay, yeah, I know. Yeah. Anyway, I'm working with it. I'm working to see what is it that happens that at some point it just requires focusing on the jewel, because the jewel is not interested in the relationship with conditioned mind. not in a sense that it needs to work with it, because it's never going to be satisfied, which is the bottom line conclusion. Mm-hmm. I don't want to dissuade anybody from trying it out, you know, to seeing if there's a way to appease it. But it's the old, you know, I won't be successful until I have this.
Right.
And I have this, and then it's the next thing that I won't be successful until I have that. And then it's just constantly looking for what's not right. Mm-hmm. And I'll never find anything right for it, mm-hmm. essentially. And so getting at that, there's always an underlayer of authenticity that has nothing to do with that. It just wants to get up and exercise. It doesn't want to get itself involved in suffering hokey pokey with the conditioning. You know, it's like, and it's always trying to strap life down into a particular formula. You know, like, it worked today. How did it work? Well, I want to make a list. Did I get 8 hours sleep? Did I eat Wheaties? Did I, meditate before going to sleep? And I want to recreate that. And the next day it doesn't work. It's like, no, it must have been something else. Or pin the blame on, it's got to be the tofu. The tofu is doing it. I've got to get the tofu. Somehow I must. And it's like I pictured Gulliver just laying there with all these little things strapping him down. And it's like, I'm gonna strap life down. I'm gonna get it right. And it's just like, forget it, life's just too big. I've gotta pay attention.
Really, that just goes back to what we were just talking about earlier. You know, it's just an instant of coming back to the jewel and being there. And, you know, no matter how many exercise outfits you lay out, no matter how many layers of
exercise outfits I have.
Right. It's never gonna have all of the, nails in place.
Exactly. Right. It's never going to be perfect for conditioned minds. It's a matter of, okay, I'm getting up and I'm doing it.
It's just a matter of waking up with the jewel instead of conditioning.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's Thank you.
Chris. So I can continue the thread here. I was lying around in my hermitage this morning. and noticing as the thought would come up to get out of bed. And the conditioned reaction to that was like a low level, I don't want to, this kind of low level depression, resignation. How it feels to me is an aspect of personality that says nothing I do matters. Mm-hmm. And so just being there with that part and then noticing that there's another aspect of personality that comes in, I think exactly at the same time, which is the one who's supposed to deal with everything. Mm-hmm. And basically that one always refers to the nothing I do matters to see how he's doing. Mm-hmm. And marveling at just what his belief system is, I need to be the best. And so it's just such a perfect trap.
Wow, it is.
Because it's so self-contained.
Yeah.
And no matter what happens, as long as I'm inside the system, it feeds that. Mm-hmm. It just feeds that those two sides of that.
Really, it leads to paralysis, doesn't it? With the one, you know, nothing I do matters, and the other one, I have to do my best, and that they're interacting with one another.
Yeah.
You know, where do you go with that?
Yeah, there's just no way that I can ever win,
mm-hmm.
and. It's set up to feel like that's the only choice that I have, is to live inside that system.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one who looks to be the best, the two places that he is trained to look to see how he's doing are two of the most unreliable places in the entire world. Whatever the system is projecting about what other people are thinking about him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all conditioned information. Mm-hmm. And then how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Those two places are always being referred to know. And then the system just runs on one side or the other. It runs on the, I need to do this, high energy kind of towards being, it's manic when it gets to be intense, and then and it's depression on the other side. Mm. So it just flips back and forth between the two.
Kind of makes you feel, have a lot of compassion for that guy that's
stuck in the middle.
Stuck in the middle of that really untenable situation.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah. And so from that perspective, it's worth whatever I need to do to get out from under it. Because there's just no options inside there. There isn't anything that's worth having inside that system. So it's all outside.
It's all outside the system. You know, it's like you started off by saying you were laying in bed in your hermitage, and what you're describing is you were actually having a workshop this morning.
Yes.
In your hermitage. You know?
Yep.
Sounds like just saw a lot in that opportunity.
Yeah, and another interesting piece of it was, a lot of times when I wake up, the person in charge of dealing with kind of whatever the fear is about what's going to happen in the next, during the day or whatever's going on, will generally have control of the body and get me up. And so this morning, I said, no, let's just lay around a little while. And
so that was a conscious decision, just looking at the one that would generally want to just jump up and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's on the list? Let's meditate. Mm-hmm. Content doesn't matter in that place.
Right.
And then, from that place, it was it's very quiet, and there's nothing but, me looking around to see what conditioning's doing, and I find it can be pretty extraordinary in terms of awareness practice, just because it's pretty quiet.
Yeah, it sounds like it gives you the opportunity to see other folks that just get bowled over, by the one that just wants you to jump up and get going, and you miss these other guys.
Yeah. And so seeing it is very exciting, because a lot of what I would consider the process that I go through regularly is included in that. Like a lot of the stories that will go on during the course of a day, they aid and abet that relationship between those two, like that. It's almost like their relationship makes those stories believable. Or they're in that context, it would make sense for somebody to tell a story, a fantasy about doing well or not doing well. Right? The content all of a sudden kind of comes into focus. And I think the other piece of it was the person who's always looking to the fear to see how he's doing. So he's really in charge of this whole value system about looking to how I feel and what that means and all those kinds of associations. And so it just seems to me like there's a lot of possibility in exposing all of that, kind of letting the attention get under that, so that how I feel becomes much less of a, I can really live from that place of whatever, in terms of how things are feeling, what kind of body sensations are coming up. That makes any sense.
I think what you're saying is just an opportunity to go, the metaphor we've been using this morning is the jewel, but just to go deeper instead of getting caught in that relationship with, what you saw going on this morning, which can seem really real in the content that life presents during the day, just always comparing and seeing, is this the best and how do I feel and all of this, and, to go deeper below that and to know that place.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I was just hearing that, and actually what we've been talking about today, this was helpful. I really get that Sherry saying focus on the jewel, because any time a layer is dealing with a layer, all that happens is both layers are getting strengthened.
But any time that the attention is on the layers, they're just, it's strengthening the layers, and what we want to do is put the attention on
them. And anytime there's, you know, there's a sense of, oh, well, this is a problem, I have to deal with it, it's a layer deciding that. And so then whatever is dealing with is another layer, and all that happens is they both get strengthened and their relationship gets strengthened. And there's no way out of that except to leave it.
Well, you can just, I mean, as you say that, I can really see that. I mean, it's all an illusion. And so, you know, to just keep focusing your attention on that and to just keep, you know, making it stronger.
Thank you. Linda. Well, I'm totally captured by the whole field of brain plasticity. And I probably don't understand it at all. But what I get feels like it so points to the elegance of the guidance to just turn your attention to the jewel, or turn your attention to something, to the way you want your life to be, that every time I wake up in the middle of the night and go through a little fear track, it's actually putting little map tags in my brain maps and making them more concrete. And the only thing that will change the brain maps is a complete shift of attention to a completely different subject. Because if I stay in an argument about whatever it is I'm trying to figure out, it's just really cementing into place the propensity to go there. And when I can, as we are so often encouraged to do, just, and it feels sometimes like it's a really hard pull to pull my attention completely away from whatever the problem is, whatever the difficulty, whatever the fear, that actually whatever the label is, and shift my attention to an experience of life is good. I want to be right here. It feels right. I remember seeing that pileated woodpecker the other day, or any of those things. It helps weaken that, you know, when you go back to the geode analogy, it weakens the crust and makes the jewel more accessible. And I just love it. It's just, and it's very exciting to me to practice with it in that way, that it's sort of like, I know every time I do that push-up, I'm getting stronger in the arms. I know every time I turn my attention to how my heart wants life to be, how my heart knows life is, then I'm moving the crusts aside. Anyway, I don't know what the analogy is that fits with the geode, but.
Yeah, what you're saying is it's like reversing the wheel of karma, you know, every time that you just, to not go to that well-worn path. And it just makes sense that, you know, if we're just constantly referencing that, you know, that track, you know, to just look back there and see how we're doing and how that, you know, we're feeling and how that, you know, what's wrong with that, how that does just keep deepening that groove.
Yeah, because of course karma tends to search for exactly the same content every time.
It's very exciting to think about that plasticity, and that it's possible to just jump out of that trap altogether.
Yeah, and it concretely, it changes the brain.
It changes the
makes
brain.
The brain work differently. So,
and I find it very exciting that they found that you can do that at any age.
It is good news.
It is good news.
Yeah.
Gratitude for Sangha and several people were talking. I just felt myself almost as if in a guided imagery sort of way taken to that experience of the jewel. And it's just so helpful to hear people lay out step by step what conditioning comes at them with, what conditioned mind attempts, how conditioned mind attempts to create suffering. I can plug my own process right into that, and then describe coming out in a really powerful way the other end, and just touching into the to that place of authenticity and sort of being willing to go with them in that way and have that experience again. And just, you know, feel gratitude for people being willing to share themselves in such a open, generous way.
Just gratitude for Sangha. And it is, it's somehow heartening to hear other people's experience and to know that we all are sharing a similar experience, and that, you know, to have people share what, how they found a different path.
I'm quite literally feeling myself being taken to the place I want to live and hearing other people. I mean, one trick that conditioning will attempt to use with me is, as someone is talking about that place of being in authenticity, going, uh-oh, you know, sort of that comparison. But just how lovely it is to share, to realize, you know, I don't know how this is sort of dualistic language, but someone else's success is my success. They're doing it for me. You know, because we're the same thing, and we're doing this together, and so it's just, it's wonderful to accept that, to accept the work that each person is doing is of great benefit to me, to all of us.
But it's, again, that's just another demonstration of how conditioning would want to take something so beautiful and make it, you know, comparison and make it a separate
a problem. And then make that a problem.
And
the other direction is just, you know, it's like you were talking about the moon and karma.
And the heart knows that we're all doing it together in each person's.
It's like, thank you for taking the lead. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. It's a contribution to all of us.
Yeah.
I just saw one thing too, as people were talking about, if I just do the next thing that arises in the moment, I actually don't think I'd have much on a list. Because it's things like, put my clothes away, just little, you know, it's, remember to call this person, you know, it's just interesting as people were talking about, so if I would just do what arises in the moment, but what happens is what was described about when we wake up, in the morning. Oh, well, you know, I don't really, and I'll do it in a minute, and they're going to come in a minute, and I need to really just lay here and savor the moment and listen to egocentric karma. That's not, of course, what it says. But anyway, just do the next thing. I'm awake. Get up. Put the clothes on, put the pajamas away, and go to the bathroom. Flush the toilet, you know. I mean, that's like the basics, but I just don't do that. No, I really need to hurry and go do this right now.
I think I hear you say that, doing each thing as it presents itself, things would all get handled in there, and then there wouldn't be a backlog.
Right.
You have to end up on
exactly.
a list to do.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, there might be two things on the list, but there wouldn't be 10.
Right.
And
there wouldn't be have to go clean your room and hang up all your clothes.
But and put my pajamas away and make
your
the bed, because
away.
It would already be, it would have been the next thing to do. Or the thing about put the clothes, you know, out at night. Put the clothes away, put the pajamas on, lay out the clothes for tomorrow. Not, then I wouldn't be rummaging around in a pile of clothes in the dark. It's just fascinating to see. It's, the ego talks us into the opposite.
Yeah.
What I really need to do is not attend to the moment, have things pile up so they can go on a list, so then they need to be attended to, and I can worry about them and beat myself up and feel ashamed because my room's untidy.
Exactly, and have a list that's completely undoable.
Exactly.
But can always hang over our heads.
Yeah, and it tells me that it's not, you know, you're never going to get it all done because now it's this big pile of stuff.
Yeah.
And it tells me to take, really taking care of yourself is just to lay here.
Yeah.
No, my experience of laying here is not good.
I think that's been established this morning.
No, it's so universal, isn't it? So.
I'm this reading a book that has something had something really interesting in it to me, this chapter that I'm reading this time. And it relates to that. It was talking about how we oftentimes have trouble starting something new. And the suggestion by the author was to finish something you've already started first. You know, like that stuff that's hanging around. You know, part of the reason we don't start things is we have too many things we've already started, haven't finished, and we're overwhelmed by, it sounds like, you know, that kind of idea that here, I started this and I got to finish that and that and that and that. So go finish something, and then the energy
builds energy.
It builds energy. The finishing it releases some energy to start something, you know. And sometimes there's a lot of ideas or things in there wanting to come out, but there it's clogged up. Yeah. And I thought that was so interesting that, yeah, because I mean, you know, when I thought about it, I thought, boy, there's a lot I could attend to that would. That is maybe not recognized energetically pulling. And so cleaning some of that up, then let some new creative energy come out. And I thought that was an interesting. I'm going to try it too.
So going and finishing some unfinished things and bringing up blocked energy. And be interesting, another interesting workshop.
Yeah.
Thank you.